Welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I should be a little bit more expressive in my welcomes.
I think that was quite expressive.
I think Graham tends to be a bit more, welcome!
Yeah,
doesn't he?
He jumps right in there.
Yeah, he does. And I think it works well because the music is trailing off by that point, but it's still not sufficiently trailed off that he needs a big entrance. That is the voice of Jan Bilton, who you can hear in the distance. We're using a different microphone setup because we're outdoors.
We are. We're in a park. We're up in a park in South London. Is it still classed as South London? Vauxhall South London.
Very definitely.
Yeah.
Anything south of the river is South London.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I can't live with that.
Apparently, though, I mean, it's a bit confusing because, like, if you go to Fulham, I think that's SW, but Fulham is north of the river. But I think that most Londoners would regard that South London is south of the river and North London is north of the river. Obviously, Fulham, Putney areas, you know, Richmond, that's like West London. Yeah. But I still think that the north-south divide still has some kind of sway.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're in Vauxhall. And we are actually sat just across the way from a tea room in a park in Vauxhall, just down by the station. And this is where we currently are. We're about to go off and watch some football in a minute, which we're going to talk about. This pub is I forget what it's called now, but it used to be called, if you look above the signage, the new signage, you'll see the old signage and it says the Queen Anne.
Right.
And it used to be a pub for young men to come and watch naked ladies dancing.
Oh, I see. Mm. It's a shame it's gone in some ways.
In some ways, yeah. Any students or people who are across the whole gentrification phenomenon that is going across much of the world now, this is a textbook example of it. It's deep South London, right by the river. When I was working and living around here, its character was very different. It's now very, very middle class, I'd say, possibly more so. You see lots of young families, young couples, presumably working towards the process of being families, in, you know, these densely packed post-war flats. And it's a very very odd experience. I always find it whenever I come here, because my memories of the place go back to the early 90s,
right?
When it was a very different place,
a little rough around the edges back then.
Very definitely,
yeah, yeah.
I would say it was a place that had its problems. It still is a place that has its problems.
Mm.
And those problems are often set upon by the, when you have suddenly a wealthy or high-income community descending upon a traditionally low-income community.
Mm.
Not always. The St Thomas's Hospital is just up the road, so a lot of the junior doctors used to live here. Across the road there is Black Prince Road. My friend Ian used to rent a room from a junior doctor in one of the council estates there.
Right.
And that was back in the really early 90s that happened. So it's not a black and white thing, but it's a interesting part of London.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. I mean, we're sitting here in an area that you've just described. I described as being a bit rough around the edges, and here we are watching a squirrel 2 metres from us, carrying, hopping around with a rather tasty looking conker.
And you've got the Boris bikes over there.
Yeah.
There's a nice playing field. There's the City Farm yonder as well. Yeah. It is quite nice here. And yeah, I mean, once upon a time, you probably would have been a bit uneasy about spending any time in this park upon a time. Not so much now.
And here we are, with all this gentrification going on, and there's a German pub smack in the middle of the whole place.
There is indeed, which is where we're going.
Yeah,
indeed, this is kind of the topic of the podcast. The pub we're going to is the Zeitgeist. We've been there on a number of occasions. I've only been here once. Tell us about the first time that you went to the Zeitgeist.
Well, we went along, and I'm a very big fan of German beer, and I like the odd Wurst as well. It's very nice. But of course, they show what I think is quite a unique way of broadcasting football at Zeitgeist, which is from, I think, is it Sky? It's a Sky show, isn't it? Sky,
yeah.
Deutschland.
Yeah.
Whereby, I mean, are you happy for me to explain
it
to the listeners? So the programme is called Conference, And effectively, I was explaining this to my son this morning, and he thought this was amazing because we were watching last week's match of the day, because I refused to watch it last Sunday because of Sunderland's terrible performance. So he talked me around. So we were watching it, and he was asking me what I was doing today, and I said, I'm going off to watch the conference, and explaining it to him that it was basically they start with, you know, a top billing match, and then when a goal's scored elsewhere, they just kind of up sticks and move on to that one, and then they'll watch that for a bit, and then another goal scored or another event's happened, and they'll go over to that one, and they more or less do that for the whole afternoon. And he just went, that sounds amazing. And I went, yeah, it is. And you get to drink German beer and eat sausages at the same time. It's amazing. So, yeah, that's what we've got ahead of ourselves. And, you know, the first time I did it, it was a fine afternoon. And I'm looking forward to another one today.
Yeah, it's actually very clement today as well. It's late October. And it's got that nice, reassuring autumnal crispiness in the air, and it's very pleasant indeed. And this pub, Zeitgeist, is certainly used to be, when it first opened up, a bit of an enclave for German immigrants to come to. When I first started coming to the Zeitgeist, it was much busier than it is now, and I would often be, me and my friend John would often be the only or among the very few actual English people in the pub. That's changed a bit now. As I imagined, you know, the network, the community always fluctuates, particularly immigrant communities always tend to fluctuate and move around and find new places to hang out. But I mean, I got the distinct impression that a lot of German guys who perhaps first came over would come there because they might come looking for work. Yeah. It'd be a good place to look for work, or at the very least to network, help out with digs, stuff like that. Just watch a bit of German football, speak a bit of German, and be amongst themselves for a while. I think it serves a valuable role in that. It also has the knock-on effect of being a place for Deutsche Files and Bundesliga fans such as myself and others to come and you know, experience a little bit of Germany, you know, not far, without having to get up at stupid o'clock in the morning and, you know, get down to Gatwick on an easy jet
across Europe. Yeah,
yeah. So in that respect, you know, it's a very nice place to go and visit. It's a great place to go and watch football. And yeah, the conference is superb, and then they'll have the late afternoon game afterwards as well, the Topspiel they'll play afterwards as well.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah. It's a strange arrangement because I think technically speaking they probably can't do it. They can't transmit these pictures, or they can't show these pictures in this place. I don't think they'll probably have a licence to do so. But I guess... And the reason for this is all bound up with sports rights and being able to show football in a pub without having a special subscription from the supplier. Now, it might well be that they've got such an arrangement, but it would be with Sky Deutschland.
Yeah.
And so I'm not quite sure what the legality of it is, but the equivalent, of course, is not possible legally in the UK with English football. You can't watch you can't watch football during the afternoon. In fact, you can't watch football on a television in a pub without the pub having a proper license, a proper subscription.
Yeah.
That's why they have those funky little symbols in the bottom. They've got the pint glass, to say that this person is doing this for free. Well, not for free, but is doing this legally.
Yeah.
So that I can only imagine that they probably, the powers that be, probably look at situations like this where you've got a pub which is largely made up of natives of the country from which the pictures are coming from.
Yeah.
And it's not really a problem. Yeah. Well, I'd imagine that that's probably how it works. So we get to take advantage of this.
We do.
Moving on to the process of watching television, football on television on a Saturday afternoon, it is a problematic one, isn't it? It's not. It is actually not allowed.
But you can't do it. Let me just qualify that. You can do it, but you can't do it legally. If you want to watch... I don't know the name of the Middle East-based TV station, but you
can... BeIN Sports.
BeIN Sports, that's it. And there's a number of Scandinavian channels and Greek channels I'm sure you can pick up on the internet and watch that to your heart's content. But, you know, you have to watch that through a certain amount of interruption and snow and malware and all sorts of stuff. But, yeah, you can't sit there and enjoy a game of football on the telly at any time on Saturday up to, I think it's up to 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, something like that.
Yeah, the 5:30 games are the ones immediately afterwards. I think it's five, but...
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's only recently, and this might surprise anybody listening outside of the UK, that it's only recently that you could actually access any kind of video highlight whatsoever before... certainly before the evening time, because Sky now have got a Sky Sports Score Centre app, which will give you, you know, a snippet of highlights of the goals, really, if your team manages to score any. Mine don't. But yeah, so you can access them that way, which was pretty cool. You know, it does seem a bit strange that you've got this whole blackout, as it is called, on a Saturday.
Why does it exist? Why do we have the blackout?
Well, I suppose there is a perception that if people are at home or in, you know, pubs watching football, then they won't be at the grounds watching football. Mm. In fact, my own club, Sunderland, they had a big problem a few years ago. They saw it as a big problem a few years ago, that there were local pubs showing Sunderland games, home and away, but regardless, if it was at home, there was a real problem with it. They would, you know, the police would go in and raid the place, and they would be shut down for illegally broadcasting Premier League games. And I don't think the attendances at Sunderland were badly affected. Mm. It's a fairly well-supported club, and like any club, it's going to have, you know, the attendance is going to ebb and flow. They always do, depending on, you know, whether it's raining or not, or whether you're, you know, scrapping relegation or you're doing pretty well. In my personal view, I don't think it really affected the attendances that much. But then again, it's difficult to qualify that or quantify that, isn't it? Because, you know, the police did go in and raid these pubs, and imagine some of them got away with it.
Well, there's no way of knowing, is there?
Really?
The other argument is that the lower leagues suffer. So the Premier League plays, if the Premier League transmits a game or does something similar to Conference and shows the whole slate of Saturday 3 fixtures live on the television, is that lower league and perhaps even non-league clubs won't be able to suffer a drop in attendances as a consequence. Do you think that that's a possibility?
Well, it's definitely a possibility, but I know that me, you and Graham are kind of football heads, and we go to watch Whiteleaf on a Saturday, and during the week sometimes, and there's Champions League action on, and, you know, I personally like to watch live football, as in I'm watching it right in front of me. I prefer to do that.
If Whiteleaf were at home, we would be at Whiteleaf now. We wouldn't be coming to watch football on the television on a Saturday afternoon.
No, we wouldn't. No, we would. We would definitely be there and enjoying some live football. Yeah.
But as you point out, we are football heads.
Yeah.
So we just love watching football and we love going to football. Not everybody is as committed to football, and that's fine. By the way, it's actually a good thing. No one should be as ludicrously into football as we are, and people like us, because, you know, nothing would ever get done.
No.
But normal people. Who have normal lives, when their relationship with football is entirely different. They don't necessarily go to games, but they would probably perhaps not be inclined to go to games if they knew that they could sit down on a Saturday afternoon and watch Manchester United versus, well, it wouldn't be Liverpool, would it? Because they're always reserved for the Monday nights, aren't they?
The Monday night slot.
That's a bad example. So they might watch. They would watch a top, you know, relatively, you know, high level Premier League game, you know, instead. Do you think that's the fear?
That is, yeah, that's the fear. Whether that is justified or justifiable, I don't know. But, you know, in my view, I think that the people should be able to consume these things the way they want and when they want, and they're really trying to hold back the tide here. I think if someone really wants to watch, you know, whoever is playing, they can watch it if they're willing to put up with, you know, internet adverts and stuff like that. If you want to watch it, they can watch it, and you can't stop them.
Do you use live streams from time to time on the internet, John? If you're at home on a Saturday and you have nothing else to do,
occasionally.
How do you find them?
Well, Google's your friend.
No, I mean, I don't mean how do you find them. I mean, how do you find them? I mean, how do you find them?
It was like, have you never heard of internet search engines, Terry? I was like, what a bizarre question. No. That's the importance of intonation, man.
I mean, how do you find them? Not how do you find them.
Well, once I found them on Google, how do I find them? Well, they're hit and miss, more miss, because the quality is terrible. There tends to be ads all over the place, and I'm always concerned about what it's actually doing to my computer. And I have the worst computer in the world, but I'm still concerned about what's actually going on inside of it, because it's full of malware, isn't it?
That's what they say. I mean, whenever I've used them, I can't say as I've ever had any problem in that respect in terms of malware. But at the same time, I find them clunky and difficult to use. I'm probably at an age also where, you know, where I'm not instinctively tuned into how these things work. I can't help but think that my 20-year-old me would probably be more au fait with them, more across them, and would probably be more inclined to use them. The problem, of course, is that nobody has really been able to do a study and find out from these people who use illegal streams on the internet whether or not they would actually, if they weren't able to do that, whether or not they would be going to another football match instead of that.
Hmm. Well, I mean, we've got a similar sized country in terms of population as Germany, compared to the UK, I mean, or England. And, you know, it's very, very similar culturally, both love their football.
Mm.
Germany allow the broadcast of a programme, or in Germany they allow the broadcast of a programme called Conference.
There's a big but coming up then.
Okay.
The problem, the but, is that all the lower league stuff is played outside of that blackout window.
Right, I see.
So the Bundesliga 2 play Friday nights, Saturday lunchtime, Sunday lunchtime, and Monday evening. They don't play at Saturday 3, and it's a similar situation with the third league, with the third division, Dritte Liga, as it's called, and the regional leagues as well. So I assume that's how they get back. I can only imagine that this blackout, it must be some kind of UEFA thing, because it does seem that that's how the Germans have been able to get around it, as they say, well, actually, we're only going to play first division during the traditional afternoon slot, and because no one else is playing, we can get away with it.
So, you know, one would assume that they've done their research, and the research suggests that it would affect the attendance in these in lower league games further down the chain.
And therefore,
they've had to make the change to accommodate.
Yeah, maybe, or maybe they've just decided that that's just what they're going to do, and to hell with the research. You know, I know that there are fans of lower league clubs who don't like the scheduling of lower league fixtures, and for a culture that values traditional football and the ethics about traditional football, the way that they reschedule their lower league games is pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Particularly in a country as large as Germany. So Union Berlin are playing Freiburg on a Monday. You know, that's a long journey on a Monday evening to travel from Berlin down to Freiburg, down to the Black Forest.
Yeah.
It's not realistic. And it does affect attendances. Whether or not those attendances would then be affected if they were to suddenly play those games all on Saturday at 2:30 or 3:30 local time, CET, I don't know. I would suggest to you that you would get more people turn up for Freiburg versus, or more away fans turning up for Freiburg versus Union Berlin in Freiburg on a Saturday at 3:30 CET than you would do at 7:15 on a Monday.
Absolutely.
I would say so, and that is irrespective of whether or not there's a full slate of first Bundesliga games being played on the television at the same time.
The thing that I found odd is I understand the argument against showing football during what is called the blackout period here, because of the lower league things. I can kind of see that argument, but if you're being encouraged then to go and watch live football, and let's say your team is, I don't know, Arsenal. And you can't get to see them live on the telly. You can't get to see them on the telly during that period. You've got to go up there and pay some of the highest prices. And I'm not singling out Arsenal here. That was just the first one that came to my mind. But I think it's fair to say that everybody in this country that goes to watch a live football game in the professional leagues is paying through the nose to go and see it, and you know that isn't the case in Germany, and in a lot of other places as well. But they've got a prohibition here, and the only other alternative is to spend hundreds of pounds on 2 hours of entertainment, which I just think is, you know, there's something wrong there, that they're stopping you from doing one thing so you can. I'm not sure it's about support. It's about, well, it always boils down to money.
So would you be in favour of a similar arrangement happening over here then, but without? I'm assuming that you wouldn't be in favour of rescheduling lower league matches, but maybe you can answer whether you would or you wouldn't. But the question I'm putting to you is: do you think that there would be any harm? And bearing in mind that you don't know, but do you think that there will be any harm in us having a similar conference-style presentation on Saturday 3? Do you think that it would adversely affect attendances elsewhere?
Yes and no. I think that I think generally it wouldn't affect attendances, but I think that you give a great example there. If you're travelling from Carlisle to Portsmouth on a Monday night because a match has been rescheduled, which kind of happens anyway because of television coverage anyway.
Friday nights maybe.
Yeah, exactly. So I can see why people would not go to those games if it's been rescheduled to accommodate TV. But at the same time, the question needs to be asked of the supporters and the owners of clubs in the lower divisions whether they are up for that, because I would imagine that the Premier League could charge even more money for showing their matches live.
I think that if you increase the solidarity payments from the TV money from the Premier League down to lower leagues and indeed down into non-league, then and I would say down as far as Ryman League, Isthmian League, and equivalent levels throughout the UK, I think, and it would have to be the UK.
Yes.
Because these transmissions go out to the whole of the UK, to the whole of the island of Britain.
Yeah.
I think that if you increase those solidarity payments, that I think that that would probably be enough to address any concerns that the league clubs might have. But I think that you could try it. I think maybe you could identify certain weeks, match days during the course of a season, and say, right, we're going to drop the blackout on these weekends, on these Saturdays, and we're going to see what happens. If you do it, say, once every 6 weeks at certain points of the year, and then review the data. Look at the audience figures, look at the attendances, maybe do some surveys. I know that football authorities don't like asking fans their opinions, but I think that perhaps there will be some value in talking to the fans, saying, well, how was that?
Yeah.
Did you feel less inclined to go to a football match because there was going to be another football match featuring another team on the television?
Yeah.
And try and get some kind of idea. And I think that if you were to sort of offer some kind of financial compensation to lower league clubs in the event of any hit, then that it might be possible to get an idea as to whether or not it's really necessary to do this. Instinctively, my feeling is that I don't think it'll make a big difference. I think that if you go to football matches, given the effort and the money that you spend to go to football matches, the fact that there's another football match on featuring another team or another set of teams from another division, I don't think that's going to make much difference to you. If you're a Plymouth Argyle fan through and through, I don't think the fact that there's going to be a full slate of Premier League matches on when Argyle are on is going to make that much of a difference.
I agree completely.
But football can be counterintuitive, and life can be counterintuitive, and things that you know and feel are actual, are real, are often not.
Yeah.
And I think it would be, but I do think it would be worth finding out.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I just, As I said earlier in the conversation, people are going to do these things anyway, and if you have to create rules around broadcast or around anything, that is, if you have to create rules, then there's something wrong with the way the system is. Otherwise, if there was nothing wrong with it, you wouldn't need rules. People are still going to watch these things. And so if you are a Plymouth Argyle fan and you've got the opportunity to watch Manchester United playing today if you want to watch them, and you can watch that live.
Yeah.
You might have to watch it with commentary in a different language. You may not.
But you don't really have to.
So, you know, you can already do it, and it's very, very easy to do. And I would imagine that if you clicked around enough, you would probably find a very good stream, and be able to watch it in pretty good quality. It just seems like there is a rule in there for rule's sake, and I think that, you know, if it was having an effect, it's already having an effect.
And this is not a... I'm conscious of the fact that there might be people listening to this saying, well, people should go to football. They shouldn't watch football on television. They should always go to football. And I agree with that sentiment strongly, but at the same time, not everybody can go to football matches. They just can't. For whatever reason, they just can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have the money. They don't have the time.
Exactly.
They don't have the ability.
And maybe that's just like how they like to consume football.
And maybe they just actually, do you know what, I prefer watching football on television
and
than I do it. That's
fine.
Also fine.
Yeah.
And I think it behooves other football fans to not be snobbish about how people choose to enjoy football. And hopefully there will be, you know, room for everybody. I think we're going to finish up quite soon because the beer...
I can taste it.
I'm thirsty.
We're so close to it.
If this happened, in what format would you like it to be? Would you like it to be... And I'll give you a choice because we're running low on time, but I'll give you a choice. Would you like it to be like conference where it's all voiceover and they just go... They cut from one and there's no supporting show? Mm-hmm. Or would you prefer it to be more like Soccer Saturday or the goal show on BT Sport for the Champions League where you've got the L bar and you've got the guys who are... sat at a desk and they're watching it with you, but the only big difference between Soccer Saturday and conference is you have the actual live pictures as well. Which would you like to see?
I'm a big fan of the European goal. Is it called the European Goal Show on BT Sport?
It's called the Goal Show Champions League. The one on BT Sport.
Yeah, I love the format of that. And they tend to have journalists on there rather than former professionals, which is fine. But it's just what I prefer. And I like the fact that they're sitting around talking about one game at a time and what's happening there. And then, you know, it's quite exciting when the dash off somewhere else, so that would be my preference. But as I've said, other people have got their views on these things. And if it was going to be something like conference, which is also massively exciting and really good fun to watch, that would also be good too.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. I think that it would. I'd like to see the good thing about the goal show is that it's a hybrid. It's between conference and Soccer Saturday, and both of those shows I enjoy for different reasons.
Yeah.
I joke about Soccer Saturday and that it's basically watched by old men who don't know how to figure out how to watch a live game on the internet. I'm probably being a bit unfair, but it's something that I've watched for a long time. Not so much now, but I have down the years.
It is hilarious to watch, though, isn't it? It's so funny, because it's just so crazy and they're so animated.
But they're really good, and this is the difference, because BT have just launched their similar service for Saturday 3, and it's nowhere near as good. Another one of the many reasons why it's nowhere near as good is because the ex-pros have a way of making you engage with the action despite the fact that you're not seeing it, whereas on BT Sport they just make you feel rubbish because you feel as if you're missing out. But for some reason the Soccer Saturday guys, I assume just through sheer experience, are able to do that. This new show would be, I think, you know, elements of Soccer Saturday. You'd have, you know, like Jeff Stelling and all the pros there, and they would be commenting on the action and we would be watching the action at the same time, perhaps with the L bar, with everything else that's going on. I think that would be definitely watchable. I'd definitely skip a White Leaf game or five to watch that. I'm joking.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I've just completely blown my argument out of the water.
It's half an hour of hard content, and then you go and say that. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, on that horrific note, we're going to wrap it up. Let's go and get some beer. Hopefully they've got some Brinkhoffs or some Dortmunder beer in there, because I've got a thirst for that. It's delicious stuff. And we're going to go there. I'm going to watch some conference, watch some Fußball in South London. And, well, I think that'll do. Thank you very much, Jan.
Thank you very much for having me in this park.
This will be our last podcast with just you and I think. I think Graham will be back. This is dropping probably going to Tuesday or Wednesday, going to drop.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the following week, I think Graham will be back. And assuming that he hasn't renounced all things podcast, decided to sell up and move back to America, yeah, then he should be back with us.
He should be.
So thank you very much indeed for putting up with us in these reduced circumstances, listeners, with only the two of us and without the wonderful studio that Graham has, and just his incredibly slick presentation that he's done and the standards that he set are quite wonderful. We're looking forward to getting back in the studio, but this has been fun, hasn't it?
It has been. It's been great fun, yeah. It's nice to change the format. We've been talking, as we know, Graham was going to go away for a while. We've been talking about changing the format just for this, just to shake it up a bit, and it's been good.
Yeah. It has been good, but yeah, we don't want to make a permanent thing of it, though, do we?
Well, we might have to if he decides not to come back, but, you know, we'll cross that bridge if we get to it.
Indeed. And maybe we'll see you on the other side of that bridge, listeners. Until then, from myself, Terry DeFallon, and from Jan Bilton, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.